weekly from the greatest city in the world, the Big Apple, the Digital Wealth Digest presents Joel Bogus. What is your why for being inspired by the digital world?
My why, such a great question. Digital technology has made it so easy to make game-changing information available to people down the street, to people in the next town, to people in the next state, and to people on the other side of the world. And I don't know about you, RJ, but that is absolutely fascinating to me that you could put out a podcast today and tomorrow, you know, someone in Russia, in China, in Saudi Arabia can not only download it, but can also absorb the information that you're giving them, put it to use in their business, and then reach back out to you and communicate with you that way. The world is definitely getting flatter and smaller, and it's because we have the digital reach and the arm that we didn't have in previous generations.
Join RJ, your host on the Digital Wealth Digest, as we learn from top entrepreneurs and their most successful digital products. Entrepreneurs creating wealth inspired by the digital world.
Welcome to episode 24 on the Global Digital Age podcast, known as the Digital Wealth Digest, the podcast for the internet marketing and online income communities. My name is RJ, the digital professor, your host and advocate for online income. Today, our travel around the globe takes us to the greater Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas area in the U.S. to meet with this week's digital wealth creator, who is a podcaster, a number one best-selling author, who is best known as a podcast and book launch expert. He's the guy people call when they need a tested and proven plan to hit number one with their book or podcast. As a radio veteran and best-selling author, he knows the strategies and the tactics that will help you and your message be seen, heard, and recognized. His podcast was voted most inspirational 2 years in a row by Podcasters Paradise. He is considered one of the top 5 shows to tune into for inspiration by the Huffington Post, and he is mentioned in Inc. as one of the top 20 business podcasts of 2015. He is a podcast news and tech contributor for the Huffington Post and Success.com. His latest book, Finding Your Voice, hit the number one spot on Amazon for success, happiness, and self-esteem. So get ready to be inspired by what he does and what he does to help others accumulate wealth online. I want to introduce Joel Bogus. Welcome to the Digital Wealth Digest, Joel.
RJ, first of all, I want to thank you for just having me on the show today, and congratulations with the success that you're having and for making this show available. What a tremendous resource for entrepreneurs to have right there at their fingertips. So again, thank you for having me on, and congratulations for the show.
Joel, please take the time to tell the audience what you're doing online today and what you're doing to help others accumulate wealth in the digital space.
You bet. Another great question, RJ. Just a little bit of background, if you don't mind. I spent a big portion of the 90s in behind the mic in traditional radio, and also in front of the camera on television. So the broadcasting roots run very, very deep in my veins. And when I stepped away from that industry in the late 90s, when podcasting started to peek itself over the horizon, you know, as we entered a new century and a new millennium, you know, I knew that I not only had to be in the industry, but I needed to be a leader in the industry. And that is what set that flame alive. Matter of fact, that flame became a torch when I started getting into how, you know, through digital technology, I was able to reach people that I had never even thought of reaching before. Not only that, RJ, but one of the ways that it's benefited me personally is that it's helped me network at a whole nother level, you know, with movers, shakers, action takers, you you know, people in my niche that I wanted to get close to.
Now, most podcasters are trying to generate some kind of an income from their podcast. You've been doing this a long time. You have a number one best-selling book on Amazon. You've enjoyed a lot of success. What is it that people are doing wrong? Maybe two or three things. What are they doing right?
Sure. Fantastic question. You know, we put together a really neat infographic, content-rich, pretty action-packed, the top seven mistakes that most podcasters make and how to avoid them. And I have made pretty much all of them over and over and over again. But you know what? We finally got it right with the relaunch show. And one of the mistakes that I made, and I'm happy to be transparent and to talk about this, is that for a long time, RJ, gosh, for years, I actually thought it was somebody else's responsibility to drive my show and to help me get my numbers and to help me fill the stadium, you know, full of listeners, full of clients, full of paying customers. And it wasn't until we decided to launch the relaunch show, which we did in July 2014, that I took total responsibility for the show's growth or lack of it, the show's success or lack of it. And just that willingness to take ownership was a difference maker. And I think that when digital marketers or people that are really trying to, you know, step into their digital presence, take that kind of full frontal ownership, boy, that can change the game for them as well.
So now let me have you address this question. There's a lot of people online just trying to make money online, and there's a lot of people trying to separate them from their money that they're trying to use to make money online. Who's winning and why?
I think who's winning are the people with verifiable track records of their success. Let me give you a perfect example on this. There are a lot of people out there these days teaching people how to launch a number one best-selling book. A lot of people in that space. But the people that are winning are the people that have actually done that for themselves first and then can share that with other people. The people that are not what they seem are the people who have actually never pulled it off for themselves, but are really good at regurgitating information, other people's information that they've read or experienced in their own research. Now, having said that, there's nothing wrong with that, RJ, as long as you're completely transparent with the people that you're working with. And that you're, you know, relaying the information that, you know, I haven't experienced this personally, but the people that I've learned from swear by it, or, you know, they have used it. Or maybe if you know somebody personally who has used that type of system, you know, if that's the case, then there's nothing wrong with that. But teaching something that you haven't personally experienced, I think that's tough. However, if you personally pulled off a number one best-selling book or a number one podcast or something like that, and if you're able to show that to folks, those are the winners.
Joel, you have done this quite a few times repeatedly. How do you build an audience, create value, and then monetize that audience?
Okay, fantastic question. You know, I was at PodFest a few days ago, and my presentation was the top five ways to grow your audience, because that's what we all want to do. And I talk a lot about audience growth, and here's why, RJ, because while so many people are caught up in this rallying cry that started in 2015 and is kind of bleeding over into 2016, you know the rallying cry I'm talking about. Got to monetize my podcast. Got to monetize my podcast. Got to monetize my podcast. I don't know about you, but it's it's a little bit nauseating once you hear it 10, 15, 20 times. And I think that while there's nothing wrong with that idea, got to monetize my podcast, I don't think that's the right approach, personally. I think monetizing your business, that's a better approach for that. And the way you do that is you start filling up your stadium full of people, listeners, fans, potential customers. And once you get them in your stadium, then you're able to add value to them in a way that is valuable and does change your life. But you got to fill the stadium first. And I think that a lot of content creators, we don't necessarily have to pick on podcasters, but I think that's where content creators are missing the boat, and they're trying to monetize their content, whatever it is, to an empty room. And that can be a recipe for frustration and disaster.
Now, not to give anything away, but how is it that you go about creating a formula where you're able to create useful content that people want to consume?
Okay, very good. That's a good question, and I'll absolutely give it away. RJ, nothing to. I pretty much am an open book, and I'll lay it out. So, what you want to do first is you want to really understand what it is that you want to provide. You want to get clarity on the solution that you want to provide. Like if you have some financial solutions, like I know you do. And you want to provide those solutions. Okay, cool. Well, then let that be part of your message. You know, providing financial peace or financial security. Understand the solution that you want to provide or the problem that you want to solve. Here's what I mean by this, RJ, and I spoke about it at PodFest. People, listeners, they're not searching for podcasts to listen to. They're not looking for something else to fill an empty 30-minute block with in their calendar, or maybe even longer. People's time is at an all-time premium these days. They don't stay up at 1:30, 2 o'clock at night searching for podcasts. However, they are searching for solutions to their problems, to their pain, to whatever challenge that they're going through. That's what people are looking for. And if you're clear on the solution that you're providing, financial services is just an example here, then you can start to talk to those people who need your advice, who need your support, who need to link arms with you. And that's how you begin filling up the stadium right there. You understand what you're delivering, the solution, remember we talked about, and you also understand, get clarity on who you're delivering it to.
So, Joel, tell us, where does your entrepreneurial spirit come from? Tell us a little bit about your educational background. Any lower-level jobs? Where'd you start out?
Sure, absolutely. I've a long-time media experience. I've got a bachelor's degree from Texas Tech. I've got a couple of masters. I've got a master's in counseling and also an MBA. And those tend to work out really well. I actually stepped away from corporate America in November of 2006. And I was in financial services at the time. And remember I told you how I stepped away from traditional media in the late 90s? Well, there were a lot of bumps and bruises and false starts between then and when I stepped away from corporate America in 2006. And I just knew that I needed to do my own thing, call my own shots, and get back into broadcasting, which had wonderfully morphed into this beautiful thing that we call podcasting.
Most people want to know, you've been successful for quite some time. What was the turning point? When was the turning point? How long ago did it begin and begin to transform to what it is today?
Are we talking about an entrepreneurial turning point or a turning point in my podcast and show?
Let's talk about your entrepreneurial turning point, yes.
Okay. I would say that that happened about 5 or 6 years ago. And to be helpful on this show, and that's exactly what I want to do. This show, in my opinion, is and me being here, it's not about Joel and Joel's stories, because I could bore you to death with those all day long. But it's about me being helpful, and that's really what I want to do. And about, gosh, I would say 6 or 7 years ago, RJ, I linked arms with folks that were very, very helpful for my personal growth and also the growth of my bank account. And it was those key relationships that I developed that helped me to, you know, get business. And they actually ended up referring a lion's share of business to me that really helped put me on the map as an entrepreneur. So that's what it was. It was the key relationships that helped me out. And we talk about how important it is to have your relaunch relationships in place for any relaunch to be successful, either personal or professional. The relationships were huge to me and continue to be on multiple levels. And because I was able to really tap into those relationships, get introductions to different people that I was then able to, you know, form a bond with, sometimes invite them onto my show. Because of all of those things that have happened, chain of events, that's why we've been able to be successful. I couldn't have done this or any of it by myself. Now, as ego swallowing as that is, it's true. I couldn't have done it by myself. I didn't have the know-how. I didn't have the experience. I didn't have the brain power. I'm not a superhero. I'm just a guy who was unwilling to settle, and surrounding myself with the people that knew me, that liked me, that believed in me and my message, that was a game changer.
Now, Joel, what problems do you solve for most people that they actually have problems with?
Okay, great. I do 2 things. I help people launch a #1 podcast, and I help people launch a best-selling book. Those are the 2 things that I do, and we're really good at it. When we were getting ready to launch our own book, Finding Your Voice, which we launched in, I believe it was late 2012. Gosh, RJ, we studied from the masters, like Jack Canfield, who's gone on to become a friend of mine, to Steve Harrison, to all the book launch gurus. I mean, we took their class. We invested our time, our resources, our energy into really learning how to launch a book successfully. When I launched Finding Your Voice, my goal was to make it a #1 bestseller, because I knew that if I did that, it would be a barn door opener of opportunity for me, which is exactly what I did. I launched it and I hit #1 in all 3 of the categories on the same day in the same hour. And I don't say that to impress anyone, but I say it to impress upon people that, you know, with the right plan, the right strategy, you can do it too. And you can make the gates of opportunity fly open, just like they have done for us, and use it as leverage in your business so that you can make money digitally. After the book was launched, RJ, we did basically the exact same thing for our podcast. I knew with the #1 podcast, more opportunity would come to me. And the day after we hit our very first #1 on iTunes in the digital world, the day after that happened, I got my first national speaking opportunity. And that has since blossomed to where we're getting multiple invitations. In fact, I just came back from Tampa speaking at PodFest. A lot of fun.
So, Joel, what is your reach right now? How global is your presence, and how do you get it done?
Sure. We broadcast 3 shows a week. We played with different formats. I'm sorry, not different formats, but different frequencies. We started with 5. We went to 6 a week. Then now we're at 3, and we're happy doing 3, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And honestly, RJ, I haven't counted up all the countries that get us, but I know some of my top 5 are Saudi Arabia, Canada, China, U.S., of course. And there's another one that kind of swaps in and out from time to time. But I think overall, it's, you know, 140 countries, which sounds impressive, and I guess it kind of is. But it just goes to show you that the podcasting reach can go from one corner to another. We've gotten past 1 million downloads already, you know, on a monthly basis. I'll have to check on yesterday's numbers. That was February 29th. It was the last day of the month for what we did in February. But we've gotten as high as probably 80 to 90,000 within that month, and kind of fluctuate between that's the high point and the lower points, which might be maybe 40,000 a month. But podcasting and content creation in and of itself, RJ, is all about developing your audience. And while numbers say a lot, if you're able to have intimate relationships with your listeners or readers, that says something too. And the people that you are intimate with, those are the people that will most likely end up, you know, coming to you for guidance, for leadership, for consultation to work with.
Now, this has been a long road and a rewarding experience for you. How much time and effort and hard work goes into prepping for a week of shows?
Okay, great. Actually, not much. And here's what I mean by this. We have it set up in such a way as to where our guests, you know, email in bios and things of that nature. And we usually ask for a very, very short bio, about 50 words, actually. And some people adhere to that 50-word request, and some people send, you know, pages and pages of stuff. But we work our way through it. Specifically, to answer your question, though, there's not a whole lot of prep to it, just because I've been interviewing so long and I've figured out how to make an interview good. And I like to basically participate in the conversation while I'm actually recording it. And that's where I do a lot of my learning. And that actually adds spontaneity to the conversation, which I think also makes it good.
So let's inspire some people out there. What can you tell the listeners about yourself, your struggles, and your experiences that would help fuel entrepreneurs of all levels from around the globe?
Sure. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to talk about that, RJ, because that's really what I love talking about, inspiration and motivation. And if you are on fire about your message and sharing your voice, your message, you know, with the world, and that could be from a professional a point of view, sharing a professional message, or that could be sharing a personal or an emotional, maybe even a spiritual message. If you're excited about it, pick a medium to explore and go all in on it. What I mean by that, pick a medium, is that podcasting, while it's done really well for me and for many other people, doesn't necessarily have to mean it's not for everyone. Neither is blogging. Neither is doing video. However, if you have a message to share, and I personally believe everyone does, then find a way to share it, a way that resonates with you, and make it available. Do whatever it takes to get that message out there. I personally believe, and this is just my belief, RJ, is that we have a responsibility to share our message with the world. And that's what we've been doing for years and years and years. And I hear the stories from authors, speakers, entrepreneurs, you know, top level people whose names that you would recognize, you know, share their journey with me. And they talk about struggles, challenges, setbacks, things that they've had to launch or relaunch from. And those stories are always inspiring. But it just shows you the possibility of the human spirit on fire.
Great information today from Joel Bogus and what he does to help entrepreneurs create wealth online. How do people connect with you in the digital world, Joel?
Sure. Thanks for having me on, RJ. It's been a lot of fun today. I'll give you two URLs. One is relaunchshow.com. That's where we park all of our shows, all of our training resources, you know, different blogs and articles that we write, and all of the resources that we use. If you're listening on an iPhone, and about 70% these days, those are the latest stats that I've heard, are listening through a smartphone or an iPhone. If you're on an iPhone, you can actually go to your Safari browser and enter relaunchshow.com/ITC. And that will poof like magic, open up your podcast app right there on your iPhone, where you can then subscribe, rate, and review the Relaunch Show. And when you subscribe to any show, every time a new episode is published, you'll get it automatically on your phone, ready to go.
Any shout outs or mentions?
Mercy Ministries is one of our favorite charities. And Mercy Ministries, what they do is they take in at-risk teenage girls and young women. And they're based out of Nashville, Tennessee, but they are now global. I don't remember exactly, RJ, how many branch offices they have, but they are safe houses that take in, you know, girls that have been mistreated in multiple ways. And I won't get into the details, but mercyministries.org is a wonderful, wonderful outreach. When we were launching our book, Finding Your Voice, we donated a portion of every single book purchase to Mercy Ministries. And we were just excited to be able to participate with them in that way. Pay and I have toured the facility, and they're doing great work there.
Great cause, Joel. Thank you for being our featured digital wealth creator on the Digital Wealth Digest.
It's been a pleasure, RJ. Thanks for having me.
Join RJ, your host, on the Digital Wealth Digest as we learn from top entrepreneurs and their most successful digital products. Entrepreneurs creating wealth inspired by the digital world.
Join us each week as we get up close and personal with digital entrepreneurs from around the globe. For more information on present, past, and future digital wealth creators, you can follow us on Twitter at For Income Online. You can like our page on Facebook, Digital Wealth Digest, and of course, our website, www.digitalwealthdigest.com now.